Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from Venezia 74, and we're going to be talking about my favorite section of the festival, Venice Classics. And in particular, specifically, we'll be talking about The Prince and the Dybbuk, a documentary directed by Elvira Niviera.
Yes.
And Piotr Rozalowski. Piotr is here with us to talk about this film now. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks a lot. Yes.
And so very quickly, the first question is if you could tell our listeners, just introduce them to the film and tell them as much as you'd like about it.
Yes, shortly, speaking about this film, it's a film about unknown filmmaker, Michael Vashinsky, who has unbelievable life story. He was born in little town in the Ukraine, in Jewish family, and died in Madrid as Prince Michael Vashinsky, Polish aristocrat in exile, Hollywood producer and director of many films, among them the most important Yiddish film ever made, The Dybbuk, from the 1937.
And we were talking about it before the interview. He's a man who constantly reinvented himself.
That's true. That was also one thing which fascinated us in his story, that he has a couple of different lives in his own life. He was Jewish, he was Polish, at the end he was aristocrat, he was gay but married to Italian countess, he was director and producer, and he's a very wide biography in many different countries in the whole world. When we are doing this documentary, we visited Poland, Ukraine, Italy, Spain, Israel, and the United States, and we discover in each country new face of Michael Vashinsky.
Yeah, exactly. And this constant transformation of his affected the style of your movie.
That's true. Yes, it was also for us kind of inspiration to make this film a little bit in this way how the life of Michael Vashinsky was. So to put together all these different layers in his life, using also his diaries in Yiddish and other different elements to try to come closer or to discover this unknown and fascinating personality.
Yeah, another fascinating figure that he recalls is Eric von Stroheim, who was one of those people who just showed up in Hollywood and reinvented himself. That's just a side note. So in this movie, you make great use of great archive footage. Maybe we'll dissect it a little bit. So how were you able to research all this material, and how did you end up using it and selecting the stuff that makes it in the movie?
We had a little bit of experience with archive because many years ago we made a short documentary film, Rabbit Ala Berlin, based on the archives from Germany. The film was Oscar nominated in 2010, and after that we knew a little bit how to go on with it, but in this project was much more complicated because we have archives from also from so many different countries, from so many different sources, and I must tell you that it was really difficult to get through it, and it cost also lots of money to get the licenses of these archives. But I must say that it's much easier now to do it than 10 years before, because now you can find many sources online. And for example, British Pathé, they put many archives online on YouTube, on their own YouTube channel, and many other institutions. And I think 15 years ago, it would take much longer to make this film, because you should really go to each archive institution and take the DVD viewer. And today, we could really, 70% of the archives we could really find online. And we order particular things from the institution. Also, in the film, we have a couple of private archive sources. But if you can see the end credits, I think it was 22 different archive sources in this film.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of, there's a romantic side to this process itself, because didn't Vashinsky himself spend a lot of his life looking for the movie that he directed, which was The Dybbuk?
That's true. Yes, it was also one of these little stories which we decided to put really up front in our movie. Which we discovered that this film, The Dybbuk, it's the only film which have something to do with his Jewish origins, Jewish culture, and it was, in our opinion, the most important film of Vashinsky. And the film copy disappear after the Second World War. And Wyszyński was really obsessed of this movie. He wanted to... We don't really know what he wanted to make with it, or maybe he just wanted to watch it, but he was really personally, connected with this film and with these stories. And unfortunately, he never managed to find this movie. And this film was found in the 80s in Austria and by coincidence, and thanks to that, we could use fragments of this film in our movie.
And it looks stunning. Like, it looks like it's a great discovery. Just to be able to see it again, you know, eventually being able to see it again, it would be fantastic. So we have to move on. And another thing, great thing about this documentary is that you found quite a lot of people to talk to about Wyszyński, a lot of contributions from different sources.
Yes, it was also a huge, surprise for us, because Wyszyński died in 1964, and so it's more than 50 years ago, and on the beginning of our research and film shooting, we didn't expect much, but we are surprised that we found his second family in Italy using the yellow telephone book of Rome. and we found out his real family in Israel and inhabitants of the Jewish shtetl where he grew up, who still remember him from the beginning of 30s, and of course many people who work with him during the production in Italy and in Spain and Hollywood film production. So we're really surprised that still it was possible to find witness who work on knew something about Wyszyński, but at the end, I think nowadays it's not really possible to find out who he really was. So our film is only a try to come closer, but it's only I could imagine that probably another couple of filmmakers could make a few different films about him. He was so rich in the in his personality.
I mean, I guess the closest you come to is through that diary of his.
Yes, because through the research we found out some. It was we name it in the film diaries, but in fact we found a few notes, and it could also be that it was kind of poetry he wrote or. We don't really know, you know, in which context was it, because there are a couple of letters, a couple of notes, and we put it together to create this inner voice of Wyszyński, and we decided also to it was also important to us that it's in Yiddish, so in this language which is connected to his roots and also to the Dybbuk film, which is... Which is also in Yiddish.
Unbelievable, because every answer you give me, it's like I have so many other questions to ask you. But one of the beautiful things about this movie is that you can imagine them. Because like you said, you know, you could make so many films about this, you know, Wyszyński, that it's just fascinating. Also I'm fascinated by the fact that you go from searching for archive footage online and then you're looking through a yellow telephone book. What? That's fantastic to me. That's really interesting. But going back to, and this will be my last question, going back to the very fact that you mentioned that you could make so many different films about him, tell so many different stories about him because he's so fascinating. I got the impression, this, one of the things that I would like to say about this documentary is that it's not the documentary that feeds you information nonstop and just like, this is what happened and this is what happened. I felt also that there was a dreamlike quality to it sometimes, and things just happened and just materialized in front of your eyes, and you can just tell yourself, how can this be possible? So I'm just wondering whether that was also important to you, to not make a straightforward documentary, biographical documentary.
That's true, but it also the way how we put it together, it also I would say came out from his story, which have many, there's many gaps, many points, many moments which you don't really know what happened. So we also try to have also this kind of let's say dreamy sequences or places where the viewer can also try to imagine what was he feeling in this moment or what happened with him, because it's as I said, it's impossible to really say who he really was and what happened with him, for example, during the Second World War. We could only speculate about some facts, and we wanted to make this structure open. I can only add something to that on the very beginning, when we found out the story of Wyszyński, when we read some couple of sentences about him, and when we read a biography by French journalist Samuel Blumenfeld, also of Jewish origins, we thought that this guy, it's actually like alter ego of Leonard Zelig from the Woody Allen film.
Yes, that's how I didn't think of that. It makes perfect sense. Very good. So we're out of time, but thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure talking to you.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
And I'll remind our listeners that the film is called The Prince and a Dibbuk, and that this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.